daf samach dalet. So let's take it around 8 lines down, the 2 dots, because the previous discussion was part of yesterday's daf, so I assume you guys got there. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afa Tamid. So what's Rabbi Yehuda referring to? So the Mishnah taught us that it's also to have any chametz when a person shechs the carbon Pesach, but he also said when shechting the carbon Tamid Shebin Arbaim, if a person has chametz, he's over the aseh as well of owning chametz. So the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, why was he able to extend it even to during the carbon Tamid Shebin Arbaim? If one has chametz, there's an Isser. So the Gemara says, Amar Lach, Zivchi Zevach HaMiyuchali U'mayniu HaTamid. The Pasuk says, we have to know the Pasuk that says about the Isser, it says, Lo Sizbach HaChametz Dam Zivchi. What is Zivchi? My Zevach. What's the Zevach that's Miyuchat to Kavish Baruch Hu? That's a carbon Tamid. That's a special carbon Tamid. That's Miyuchat HaShem. It's an Ola. It's the Ola. It's HaOla HaRishona. So therefore, it's included even in the Pasuk, the carbon Tamid. So then the Gemara... Exactly. So then the Gemara then says, Rabbi Shimon, Omer HaPesach Ba'arbasar, that he says, when you shecht the carbon Pesach Ba'arbasar, so if you shecht it, you violate the Isser, but if it's any other carbon on Erev Pesach, then you're pater. But he says, at the same time, if you shecht the carbon Pesach during the Chol HaMoed, or the rest of Yom Tov, you're pater, but any other carbon, you're chayv. So again, on the 14th, you're chayv for shechting the carbon Pesach, any other carbon, you'd be pater. Any other day of the year, it would be the opposite. So what's the reason? So my time, it's a bit of a fancy drasha. We don't have this type of drasha often in the Gemara. But my time with Rabbi Shimon, it says in the Pasuk Zivchi, we just quoted the Pasuk, Lo Sizbach Achamet Dam Zivchi, and also says, Lo Sishchat Achamet Dam Zivchi, two different psukim. So it says Zivchi twice. Zivchi, Zivchi, Trey Zimni. Why? Kari Be Zevach Zivchai. So what do we just do there? So look at Rashi. Rashi says a very fancy footwork that the Gemara does sometimes, rarely. Zivchi, zivchi, trei zimni. Trei kroi ksivi. They're two different psukim. Shokil yud dechad minayu v'shadi a'idach. We took the yud from one of the zivchis and we threw it onto the other zivchi. V'kar be zevach dainu pesach. V'kar be zivchai l'shar zvachim. So now we're able to say one stand to zevach, the carbon, which is just the carbon pesach, and the other one zivchai, multiple carbonos, referring to shar carbonos. That's the drushes. What's the application now? The Mai Hilchasa, with regards to which particular halacha does this zevach zivchai apply? So paginu rachmane mehadade, we're now able to separate carbon pesach from all other carbonos to say what? We say, again, paginu rachmane mehadade v'lo kasiv zivchai lemeimar bizman de'ika zevach lo mechayv azivchai. Bizman de'leka zevach mechayv azivchai. When there is a zevach, in other words, when there is a carbon pesach erev Yantif, Yedalad Nisam, so then you're only chayv on the Zevach, you're not chayv on other karbanos. But when there is no Zevach, meaning every other day of the year, I mean really the rest of Yantif, that is, that there is no carbon Pesach, so you shecht a carbon shlomim, any other carbon, and one has chametz, there would be an Isser on that. So that's the fancy drasha of Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. He's not talking about the Tamid here, he's talking about other Karbanos here.
Right, so, but
he doesn't have the drush of Rabbi Yehuda. No, he doesn't have the drush, exactly. So then the Gemara says, Moed Lishmo Pater. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah as well, that on the Chol HaMoed, if you do it Lishmo, so then you're Chayiv, sorry, on Erev Pesach Lishmo is Chayiv, but during the rest of Moed, Lishmo is Pater, because there's no Lishmo Pesach, there's no Karim Pesach the rest of the Yantif. But if you do it shalol lishmo, you shech the carbon pesach shalol lishmo, which means l'shem shlomim, which is an acceptable carbon, then one would be chayv for owning chametz. So the Gemara says, taima de shalol lishmo only because you took a carbon pesach and you shechted it shalol lishmo, which means you dafka shechted it l'shem shlomim, that's when you're chayv ha-stama pater. But let's say you shechted a carbon pesach on the third day of Chol HaMoed. No lishmo at all. So the din is, you'd be pater, because the Mishnah says only if you did it dafka shelo l'shmo, which means you did it dafka l'shlomim, does it become a shlomim, and you would be chayv. If you did it stam, the stam case stands as a karim pesach, and we know the klal, a karim pesach shechted the rest of the yantif, if you own chametz, you're pater. So Gemara says, amai, pesach b'shar yamim, yimos hashana, shlomim havi. Didn't we learn several times now? A pesach the rest of the year is a karim shlomim. So shouldn't a stam pesach, on the third day of Chol HaMoed, for example, shouldn't that be a shlomim? Why do dafka have to be oker with a shalol l'shma? So the Gemara says, it must be then, we learn the klal, that shmas mina pesach b'shari mos hashana ba yakira. It's not that we have a karm pesach, and today is Yud Alf Shvat, it just turns into a shlomim. You have to actually be oker. You have to say, I'm doing this shalol l'shma. I'm doing the same shlamim, but stam, a karm pesach cannot transform into a shlamim, a stam case. So that's why only if it's a pesach, that's shelo l'shmo, where you were okert to a shlamim, would one be chayv during the rest of Yom Tov. But if it's stam case, it still remains a pesach. And the Gemara says, not true. Gemara answered, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, Nizrka mipei chabura, came out from a chabura, from a discussion, of Amru that they said, Kegon shayubaylim timei meis, v'nitchan pesach sheni, distamalashim pesach kai. This case is talking about a particular situation, where the Baal of the Karim Pesach, all of them, became timei meis. So they weren't able to bring the Pesach Rishon, so they had an outstanding debt still of having to bring the Pesach Sheni. So that same animal, there's a Pesach, still stood, they could have used, a month later for the Pesach Sheni. But had you had a case where the people already used their Pesach Rishon, there was the Mekai and the Mitzvah, for them there's no need for a Pesach, that perhaps can transform into a Shlamim, even a Stam case. So there's no rye from this case. Again, the only case, meaning the only reason why this case might be Stam is still Pesach, because the Baalim still owe a Pesach. They're Tamei Pesach Rishon, they have to still bring the Pesach Sheni. But maybe if you have a case where the Baalim already fulfilled their mitzvah, maybe an extra Pesach would Eina Hanami transform even a Stam case automatically into a Shlam. Okay. New mission begins now. The rest of the mission, the Gemara is actually enjoyable. It's always enjoyable, I shouldn't say that. Martin Avram says every sug is enjoyable. But it's a little bit smoother, and there's a lot to talk about, but it's a big daf, so I can't talk about all the different things that come up. But there's a lot of important yisodos that do come up from the rest of the daf. So Gemara says, the mission says, Pesach nishchat b'shlosha kitos. The Karim Pesach is shechted in three different groups. Shenemar says, v'shochtu oso kol kal adas Yisrael. So kal, the word ve'eda, and the word v'Yisrael, each one of them imply a separate group. So you need to have three different groups. You have the first group, which is the Kal, the second group, which is the Eda, and the third group, which is the Yisrael. So now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Pesach nishchat b'shalosh kitos, pischait tzibur, bein shat tzibur mu'atim, and the Gerson side says, bein shat tzibur merubim. Whether there are a lot of people, whether there are little people, yichol nishchat kulam b'bas achas, mitzvah lechalik l'shalosh kitos zu'achar zu. Even, let's say, it was a very small crowd, and in theory, you could have fit everyone in the one kita. The din is that you should really ideally mitzvah lechalik have it in three different groups because the pasuk says shachtu also kokal adas Yisrael. But it's not b'di'evit according to Rashi. It's lechachila only. Rav Yochum Fisher Perlal is medayik from the Rambam. It seems when the Rambam says it is actually ma'akiv, you have to have three kitos. And if you don't have three kitos, perhaps one was not zocha the Karim Pesach. It's a big chiddush, but that's the diak he makes from the Rambam that it's li kuva these three different kitos. So then the Mishnah says, further, nichnas akat rishona, the first group comes in, and nismale ha'azara, now the whole azara is full of people and their karbanos, so na'alu delasos ha'azara, the gates of the azara close, and everyone else is outside, tiku v'hariva tiku, they blow the shofar, b'chlok is how many times they actually blew the shofar, but they blow the shofar there, ha'kohanim omdim shiros shiros v'yadem b'zichei kesev v'zichei zohav, and you have kohanim have these lines of passing the blood back and forth. There's one line of gold, holding gold bowls, and the other one holding silver bowls. And it says that the Shur Shakula Kesef, Kesef Shur Shakula Zav Zav, they had everything separately. The silver line, there's a gold line, you couldn't mix the lines together. And Lo Hayu Mu'uravin, they were not mixed. V'layu L'bezich and Shulayim, furthermore, the bottoms of these bowls did not have any flat area where you could place it down. It had like a little, a tip at the end. If you were to put it down, it'd fall over. Why? Shemaya Nichum, they're concerned if it had a flat bottom, the Kohen might place it down for a moment. V'yikari, forget about it. V'yikari Shadam, and the dam would congeal and you couldn't sprinkle it. So that was the way everything was set up. And then the Mishnah says further that Shachat Yisrael, Yisrael would shecht it. V'kibal Kohen. Now why does it say Shachat Yisrael? So Rashi points out two wide lines down here. Shachat Yisrael im yirtze. If a Yisrael wants to, he's able to. Not that it has to be done by a Yisrael, but if he wants to, he can. Sheashchita kishera bizarim b'chala karbanos. There's a special din. We're going to learn, I think, Amud Beis quotes this, that the from Kabbalah me'elech, only from that point on is there a requirement of having a kohen. But prior to being mekabel the dam, which is shchita, it can be done by a zar. It doesn't have to be, but it can be done. So a Yisrael, if he wants to, shechs it. And the Sfas Emes says, why would a Yisrael shecht it? What would the reason be why they suggested here? Because the Kohanim are so busy, we'll see they're doing so much work to make more Kohanim available. So if you're using a Kohanim for a Shechita, you have less Kohanim to help doing the Kabbalah and the Zrik and everything else. So the more Kohanim available is better. So they dafka tried to have a Yisrael do the Shechita. That's what the Sfas Emes says. So anyway, so Shechit Yisrael, the Kibla Kohen, the Kohen catches the blood. Nosa l'chaver, he passes the bowl to his friend, another Kohen, v'chaver l'chaver, they pass a whole line here, u'mekabas amalei u'machzer es harekan. Now they'd go back and forth, because remember, one they're sending the gold, the bowls down to sprinkle on the Mizbech, they empty it out, they send it back down the same line, so the Kohen would pass two things at the same time. He'd take a malei, and he'd pass the empty one to the guy left and to the guy to the right. So there's an interesting raya here. The Ma'aril learns from that very line here that they passed the first Mekabah, the Malay, and then they passed the Reikan. Says the Ma'aril, we learn a din here from getting Aliyah. What's having to do with getting Aliyah? So he says when you get an Aliyah, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah quotes this, that when you get an Aliyah, let's say you're the Kohen, you can't step down until the Levi actually comes up. Why? Because it's Malay Reikan. First let the next guy come up before you go down. That's what it's brought down by the Ramah. But the Mishnah Berurah says that really you have to wait for him to just get there because it's not a kavod for the Torah to not be no one standing by that. So that was before we had like five people standing up by the Sefer Torah. Back then there's one guy, he got the Aliyah, he laned. So one guy at a time, you wait for the next guy. Our practice is to wait there anyways. Why don't we leave after the Kohen gets called up? I should leave. So the Mishnah Berurah says because once the guy starts saying the bracha, if you start leaving, you're not going to pay attention to the Kriyas Torah. So the practice has developed that you stay until the Aliyah of the guy after you, until the Kohen, and then after that bracha you come down in order to add leave a room for the Yisrael and whatnot to fill in the place. Either way, the Mishnah says, so the Mekabos Amale, the Kohen catches the blood that's full, and then he's Machs his Reikon, the pass in the other direction, the empty bowl, and Kohen HaKarev Eitzal Mizbeach, the Kohen who's closest to the Mizbeach, he's Zorko, Zrika Achas, Kineged HaYesod, he throws the blood onto the Yesod. There's a Machlokas whether or not you have to do a Shvicha, pour it, or you actually throw it. We paskin, based on this Mishnah, that there should be a Zrika, but the very end of the Masechta, some say you do actually a Shvicha pouring, but we do a Zrika, that's the Psak, and you do a Kineged HaYesod. We haven't seen this yet together, but we'll learn in the Gemara in Zvachim that the Yesod worked, was there was a Yesod on the west and the northern part of the Mizbeach, but the south and the eastern part, there is no Yesod. The Yesod is a little platform that jutted out of the Mizbeach, so only in the west and the north had it. It kind of dipped and touched the corners. Those who know, who learned the Svar Kadoshim, the Yesod is connected to Yosef Tzadik, was also connected to Binyamin at Tzadik as well. The Mizbeach actually was partially in Binyamin's area and partially in Yehuda's area. So only Binyamin's area actually had the Yesod going around it. Yehuda's area did not actually have it. But either way, on the north and the west had the Yesod. So you have to sprinkle it in the area where there is a Yesod there. That's what the Mishnah says. And then the Mishnah says, Yotzisagas Rishonon. So now the first group, they finished, they left. The Nichnisa Kas Shnia entered in the second group of Yisraelim with their karbanos. Yatsa Shnia, then the second group left. Nichnisa Shlishis, and then the third group came in. Kemaisa Harishona Kach Maisa Shnia Vashlishis. Whatever they did, whatever we described in the first group, that's exactly what they did in the second and third groups as well. So then the Mishnah says, furthermore, Karu Esa Hallel. They then read. They read Hallel. Im Garmu, if they completed it, Shanu. They read Hallel a second time. Vim Shanu Shilshu. They completed two times, and then they said it a third time. Even though they've never actually read it three times, but still, that was the protocol if it ever got to that point. Now, the reason why they never read it three times is because if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Vimshanu, around halfway down the wide lines, Vadayin lo gamru shchitas pischei also kas. If they didn't finish the shechting, Shilshu, they read it a third time. V'chein ashniya v'chein ashlishis. V'yafal pishol ira me'olam sheshilshu. Never did it happen that they read three times. L'fisha hayusham kohanim merubim u'mahirin b'lmachtan. There's so many kohanim, they did it so fast, they're able to get all the pischeim in before having to read the third time. Now, who is the ones reciting Hallel? I would have thought the Levim would recite Hallel. Look at what Rashi says right above where we were before. Rashi says, Karu es ha-Hallel, akol kitos ka'i. It's referring to the kitos, the Yisraelim were the ones reciting Hallel. But if you look at Tosos, Tosos argues and he says, Karu es ha-Hallel, Perish ha-Levim would be reciting Hallel. The Brisker Rav talks about this, that they're really Tudinim based on the Rambam, explains why the Indians write read Hallel, but just on the surface, Rashi says the Yisraelim would recite Hallel, and Tosa says Levim would recite Hallel. But Tosa asks a question. We have a klal. Read this Tosa together. He says, Perish Levim, the Tanya b'Tosefta, Yisrael shochten es pischem, Levim korin sahal. So that's the klal, the Tosefta, that when it's shechted, Levim recite Hallel like any other carbon. The Levim are always reciting Hallel or Psukim, having to do with the karbanos. So kashilari. Damrina beperk ein nerachin beerchin gemar daf yud alf. That's the sugyas of Hallel. The beketa mevarchin as well. Ein omrim shira ella al hayayin. You only say a shira. You only sing when there's wine. V'hacha chazinan dika shira b'lo nisachim. When they're shechting the Pesach, there's no pouring of any wine. So why was anybody reciting Hallel? Ein shira ela b'yayin. There's no yayin. If there's no yayin, why are they singing shir by the Karban Pesach? V'chein, hayu makachin b'hazaras b'beis toldo, so b'shir, fine, there's another question. So how could there be a shir by Karban Pesach if there's no yayin at that time? V'omeri, t'hachi perusha. Ein omrim shira b'shas hakravas karban ela hayayin. When there's a reciting of psukim, when there's a shira during hakravas hakarban on the mizbeach, that's when you have to have wine here. But we're not talking about hakravas mizbeach. We're talking about shechita right now, not talking about the hakrava. So during the shechita, however, look at the last three lines of Tozos. Aval shelo b'shas hakrava. When there's no hakrava, hayu omrim shira shelo al hayayin b'kama duchte. We say halal with a lulav, right? There's no wine there. We say halal at, you know, Leil Seder. We say halal during Rosh Chodesh, but there's no yayin there. There are many times we say halal without there being yayin. The only time there's a need for yayin during Shira is when it's during Shas HaKrovos HaKarbanos. But during Shas Shechita, that's not HaKrovos HaKarbanos, and you ain't a Hanami can have Shira below yayin. Let's go back and finish the mission now. I told you there's a lot to talk about here. Can't talk about everything. The Mishnah then says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, miyameyan shakasa shlishis lo higiyo lahafti ki yishma Hashem mipnei sha'ama mu'atin. Never, during the third group that came in, never did they get to a hafti, even from the first time around, a hafti ki yishma and halal, never did they need to get to that point because there were very few people left over by the third round came. So then the Mishnah says, ki ma'aseu b'chol, kach ma'aseu b'shabbos, exactly what they had done during the weekday, they would do as well if Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, no difference. Ella, with one exception, shekohanim madichan es ha'azara shelo baratzon ha'chachamim. What happened was, imagine there's blood flowing throughout the entire azara, and they had a little ama, a little canal. They open up the plug, and all the blood would flow out to the fields. So they'd go and let the wash the floors. So they did this not only during the week, but they also did this on Shabbos. But Chachamim were not very pleased with the Kohanim doing this on Shabbos. We'll see why in the Gemara. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kos hayah mimali midam hataroves. There was a cup that caught all the blood of all the different kabbalas that were being shechted that day, and after it was full, they were tzarku zuka achas al agave mizbech. They threw that mixture of blood onto mizbech. For the hodu lo chachamim, the chachamim did not agree to this either. We'll have to wait to the Gemara to understand what's going on here. So ketar, so tolan mafshitim. Now what happened was, after they shechted it, they had to skin the animal. How in the world would they skin the animal? What would they do? How would they tolan? How would they hang it up? How would they skin it? So the Gemara says, "Unkol yosu shel barzel hayukfun b'ksam." They had some metal hooks that were on the walls of the base of Mikdash. Ubamudim shebehen tolan umafshitin, and they had poles that went across these hooks, and they'd hang the animal, the carbon pesach, on these poles, and they'd skin the animal. And kol mish ein lamakom litlos. If there were no hooks left, if you were a little too lazy or too slow, you didn't find yourself a hook or a pole. So then ein lamakom litlos l'hafshit. What you should do is makelos dakim. You have these small little sticks. V'chalakom hayu. They were smooth. Hayusham meniach hakisefa akasif chaver. You put a pole on your shoulder and on your friend's shoulder. V'tola mafshit. Then you let it hang from the pole, hanging from your shoulders, and skin it that way. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yudal, going on to now Amud Beis, the Mishnah finishing up. Yudal shechal yos b'shabbos. If however it falls out on Shabbos, then you couldn't use these poles. Why couldn't you use these poles? So there's a big machlokas, what the reason was, some say because of muksa, some because you have to fix it, you have to smooth it out, it's a tikkun mana, different concerns of why you couldn't use these poles on Shabbos. Now we're learning muksa on Thursday night, so we know why not you just set aside. If you set aside a stick, it won't be muksa anymore. But there's a big discussion what the problem was on Shabbos, but on Shabbos you couldn't use these sticks for some reason. So what they would do was that they would meniach yado akasif chavero. They place their hand on their friend's shoulder, yad chavero akseifo, and the other guy's hand on your shoulder, and then you have like a strong arm, you know, going across each other and across each other's shoulders, and then tola hang the animal on your arms umafshit. Then you'd skin the animal that way. After you've skinned the animal, the karu vahotis emurav, you take all the innards, the fats, nasu b'magis, you put it into some type of bowl, v'ktirin agam mizbech, you throw the fats on top of the mizbech. That's all the process. Yatsa kasvishona, v'yashala b'har bayis. When the first group left, they went outside the base of Mikdash, they sat somewhere in the har bayis. Then, when the shania, when they were finished, they sat b'chel. Rashi explained the chel was a little bit higher up, there's a little bit of a fence around har bayis, they'd sit within the fence, closer to the base of Mikdash. And then, when they left, Shlishis, when they leave, b'mukomo omedes, the third group would actually remain in the Azara, and Chashecha, the moment sun would set, then Yatsu v'seilu es pischem, then they're ready to start roasting their Karban Pesach, and that's pretty much the process of the Karban Pesach. We'll discuss greater detail as we go on in the parak. Fine. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Eina Pesach Nishchak, Elo b'shlosha kitos, shel shloshim shloshim b'nei Adam. That each of the groups have to have at least 30 people in each of the groups, totaling 90 people. My time, what's the reason for this? Kal v'eda v'yisrael. It says three groups. Kal, it says Eda, it says Yisrael. So the Gemara is mistapik, misaf kalon ibibas achas. Does that mean all in one shot, which means you need 30 people, right? Each word, kal, Eda and Yisrael imply 10 people, a minimum. So does that mean they all have to come bibas achas, 30 in one shot, or perhaps ibibas achas there? Maybe it should be 10, and then 10, and then 10. They don't know which way it should be. So how do you reconcile? Hilkach, to be safe, v'inan shalosh kitos shalosham shalosham ben adam, have three groups, each of them are 30. This way you're going to cover your bases. Because the ibibas achas, if this pasuk implies you need all in one shot, so you have 30 people in one shot. And e b'zachas, if it means you have to have them one after the next. So ha'ika, you also have at least 10 people, more, you have 30. 30, you have 30, 30. You've accomplished either way to learn this drasha. And for that reason, the Gemara says, Hilkach, it's very simple. B'chamishim nami sagit, to have 50 people, that also would suffice to accomplish both of these angles. The Ailu Tlasin, you have 30 people enter in for the first cut of the, and have Aili Asara, have 10 people, do their karbanos, have 10 people leave, and then Aili Asara, and Nafki Asara, 10 new people come in, and 10 people leave, Aili Asara, Nafki Asara, then 10 more people, and then this way you have 30, 30, 30. So you have 20 people that are sticking around during the course of three different groups. So that's how one accomplishes B'zeh HaZeh, and also B'vas Achas. Gemara now says three lines down. Nechnes HaKas V'shona, so Itmar, Abai Amar Ninalu Tanan, Rav Amar Nolan Tanan. When we said, after the first kat came in, we closed the doors. So now there's a machlokas, Rav and Abai, did the B'nai Adam close the door, or were they Ninalu, or was there a nace that they actually closed on its own? Interesting machlokas. So Gemara says, my B'nai, what's the nafkamina? Ike B'nai, lemismach anisa, should one rely on a nace? According to Abai, Amar Ninalu Tanan, that it was closed, the door closed on its own as a nace. You let as many people as you want. You don't need to count at the door how many people are in. There's no need to like register. You just show up, and when the time comes, the doors will just close, and that will be the indicator that it's full, and wait to your turn afterwards. So you're samech on the nes. Rav Amar Noalin Tanan, no, that the Kohanim or Levim perhaps would close the doors. Below samechin anisa, you cannot rely on a nes. So that's an interesting machlokas, whether or not there was a nes or not a nes. Now, one of the questions that the Marsha asks, the question we said before, what does it mean before Kal Ad Eida Yisrael? Does it mean 30 in one shot or 10, 10, 10? Well, if it was a nace, wouldn't that be the answer? That if it's a Nalu, it would close, it would shut the door after 10 people would come in, or shut the door after 30 people would come on. Wouldn't that be the answer for how many people, how to understand the Drasha? And Marsha says no, because just like Ein Mashkichin al Basko, we can't rely on a Basko, we can't rely on a nace either, in terms of we can't pass Kinshaila's Lo B'Shemayimi, Ein Echanami, even if it had closed after 10 people, we can't rely on that because Lo B'Shemayimi, and that would not be a good proof of the answer of 10 people versus 30 people. Either way, this is the machlokas between Rav and Abaye, whether the door is shut on its own or B'nai Adam were the ones shutting him. So the Gemara says that we have a clear raya that it happened on its own. What's the raya? The Mishnah tells us, this is the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Edios. It says, Amar Yehuda, Chas v'shom she'kavya ben minhala nisnada. Chas v'shom that he was placed in Nidui. So what was going on here? So Rashi tells us a little bit of a background here. There's a machlokas between Shmai Vavtalion about Sota, giving a Sota to Gioris and Meshuchreres, and he spoke in such a way, he belittled the Tamni Chachahim, and because of that, he was right to be placed in Nidoi. Rashi explains, because since he was big tzaddik, we didn't place him in Nidoi. Either way, given the forgetting the Nidoi aspect, the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom she'akavya ben merhala nisnada, shein azar nina'eles ela akol akoladam v'yisrael b'chachm v'yaschet k'akavya ben merhala. There's no one who the Azara closed for who was as great as Akavya ben merhala. He was a great tzaddik, so how could a person place him in Nidoi? So this clearly shows it was Ninelas, it was closed on its own. So Abai Mataritz Latame, the Rav Mataritz Latame, each of them interpret the Mishnah to their liking. Abai Mataritz Latame, Ein Ba'azara B'shah Sh'Ninela, Sh'Ninala, Al-Kaladam Yisrael, B'chachma U'B'yira Sechait, Kakavya bin Mehala. He learned that's Lashon of Ninalu, that closed on its own. And Rav interpreted it differently. Rav Mataritz Latame, Dein Ba'azara B'shah Sh'Noalinosa, No, you're saying when they close the door, there's no one as great as Akavya who was in there at the time. So it's either you learn it as it closed on its own, or the Bnei Adam closed it. Either way, there is no raya from this Mishnah, but that's a machlokas between Abai and Rava, whether it closed on its own or whether someone actually closed it. So then the Gemara quotes from a raya, Tanur Rabbanim. Me'olam lo nismaich Adam bazara, chutz mi pesach echad. No time did a person ever get trampled from the big rush into bringing the Karban Pesach, except for there was one Pesach, Shaya b'mei Hillel, shenismayach b'zakin echad, an elderly man was actually crushed. He was a stampede and he died. V'hayukarin also Pesach Muchen. They call that year the Pesach Muchen, the Pesach of those who were squashed. That happened one time. Tanya Bar the Brisa says another mice about the Karban Pesach. Pamachas one time, Bikesh Agrippus Hamelach Litin Einav b'chlosi Yisrael. He wanted to get a census of how many members there were of the Yidden. So Amar Lehen, he says, L'Kohen Gadol, Tein Einecha b'psachim, place your eyes on the Pesach, and Nato Kuyo Mikol Echad, take a kidney from each of the Karbanos, and count, and this way we'll know how many people are there. V'nimso Sham Shishim Ribo Zuge Klayos, they had 600,000 pairs, which means there are 1.2 million Karbanos brought that year. Kaflaim Kiyotim Mitzrayim, twice as large as those leaving Mitzrayim. Aside from those who couldn't bring the Karban Pesach that year, either because they were Tamei or they were Derech Rechoka, and moreover, and there was no Pesach that had less than 10 people, so we're talking about 12 million people were there at the time, but you covered us up Pesach Movin, it was called Pesach Movin, there were a lot of Karbanos that were brought that particular year. So that was a big, big number. Now, it's a bit of a question because the Gemara earlier had said, and the Mishnah said, never did they get to the point of a third one. 12 million people sounds like a lot, so 1.2 million carbonos, and yet they didn't get to that point. Their car moved pretty fast, and you know, saying halal three times each time is not a long time, so they did a lot. It was pretty impressive. But again, if they're 12 million people, they're a lot of quantum as well. So there must have been a lot of space in the base of Mikdash to get this going. Either way, they had it down pat. They worked pretty nicely.
So the first part of the 30 versus the 10, the groups, that was more just
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Completely hypothetical. And then the Gemara says, well, again, it could be there was time, this was 1 year. I mean, it could be there other times where it was much smaller. But it'd be, a big drop off, right? Huge. It could be. I don't know that they say that, but they asked the question, why Dafka they use a kulia? Why was he asking to connect, you know, the kidney? It says that Agrippus HaMelech was a big Baal Eitzah, and the Gemara says, Chazal teaches that the Klaios is the source of the Eitzah, so that's some connection of the kidney to Agrippus. Either way, the Gemara says, on this particular point, how are they able to take the kidney? Nato kuya habay haktura. You have to go be makter. You can't take it and just like start counting it and bring it to the, you know, to the government. The hadar makulay, no, they took it, they counted it, and they threw it back on. But v'ha ksiv haktiru, shol yariv chalav of shol zebezeh, you can't mix them together. Each carbon has to be brought in the mizbeach separately. So you put them to the side, you start counting them, then you throw 12 million, or what's it, 1.2 million kidneys. That's crazy. But still, they're all mixed together. You can't mix them together. So the Gemara says, no. Viktirim, again, the Pasuk says, v'hatanya, viktirim, shikulok echad. You have to be makter the carbon pesach in its entirety. You can't take its kidney out and makter it separately. So what happened was, Ella, Tfiza ba'alma, the shaka minayu, they took it, they held the kidney just for a moment, adiyovle midiachmin, until they add something in its place. Rashi said they took a little pebble, or maybe like a little bean, so they took a kidney, someone take this into account, they dropped a bean in a big jar, and then they put it back with the rest of the Karban Pesach, just for a fleeting moment, and it the enachanami, they were makdir at the very same time as the rest of the Karban Pesach. So then the Gemara says, kohanim omdim shiros, so the kohanim would stand in a line, so my time, what was the reason why they had to have a separate line of the gold bowls and a separate line of the silver bowls? So the Gemara explained that my time, Elaim, if it's because Dilma, Shakel, the Dava, Umala, the Kasva, if you're concerned, perhaps you're going to take the gold and switch to the silver, it's going to be a violation of Ein Moridin, right? Malam Kodesh Ein Moridin. So if you're taking the gold coin, or the gold bowl, and then you start switching to the silver bowl, it's going to get confusing. That would be Malam Kodesh Ein Moridin. So therefore, they wanted to have a whole line of just gold and a whole line of silver. They didn't want to mix any of them together. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says now that inema dilma kishu machzir harekan umekabel hamale zimnen demachzir rekan shozav umekabel male shokesef. Sometimes you're going to now return the gold, empty gold, and you're going to take a silver one in place. Pavale moridin bekodesh. So there are silver bowls, there are gold bowls. They didn't want a coin, one coin to switch over the gold bowl and to take a silver bowl. That's moridin bekedusha. If that's really the concern, so then the Gemara says hachanami. Dilma shakli bar masan umale bar meya. What might happen as well, let's say you take not every animal where they caught all the blood or it had much blood. So let's say you had a clea that had more blood than the previous one. That would also be some level of moridim b'kedusha, the amount of blood. Not quite exactly the same model, But we can't be that precise in gold, silver, more blood, less blood. That's not really a concern of Mamma Kodesh of Ein Maridim. So what's the reason why they had a separate line of gold and a separate line of silver? Nothing to do with Mamma Kodesh at all. But the Gemara says, Ella, the Hachi Shapri Tvei. This looks nicer. It just looks prettier. And you have a gold line and a silver line. It looks much better than gold and gold and silver, switching things about. Have a nice row of gold and a nice row of silver. Just looks much nicer. So then the Gemara says, V'lo hayu levazichin shulayim. The bazichin, each of these bowls did not have any flat bottom where you could place it down. You place it down, it would just spill out. They wanted to avoid anyone from placing it down. So Tanya Rabban, the Brisa says, Kol ha-bazichin sheva mikdash. Every one of these bowls that are found in the base of Mikdash, lo hayu lehen shulayim, do not have bottoms to it. Chutzmi, or flat bottoms, I should say. Chutzmi bazichi levona shalechem apanim. This is the one exception where the bazichin, these bowls or spoons, had a bottom, a flat bottom. Why? Shema yanichon v'yifros alechem. Because the way it worked was, in the lechem apanim, in the shulchan, you had the 12 loaves. And the side you place the levona on a little hooks of some sort. Now they're concerned if it had an angled bottom like the other bezichin, it might tilt over and rest on the lechem apanim and crack and break the lechem apanim. They want it to stay flat and even. So this was the one exception where the bezichin of levona had a flat bottom, lest it spill over or tilt over and break the lechem apanim. All the other bezichin found in the base of Mikdash had no flat bottom. So then the Gemara says, Shachat Yisrael v'kibal ha-kohen. So the Mishnah says, Yisrael would shech the carbon Pesach. So asks the Gemara, Lo sagi delav Yisrael hi? It wouldn't be enough, meaning it wouldn't be good if Yisrael didn't do it. In other words, a Yisrael had to have done the Shechita. Why is that the case? So the Gemara says, no, it's not telling us that a Yisrael has to do it. He gufa kamashalon. It's teaching us a din, the Shechita bizar kasher. It's just acceptable. It's kasher. Not that he has to do it. V'kibal ha-kohen ha-kamashalon mi-kabala ve'elach mitzvah kuna. That from the Kabbalah on, just to remind ourselves, Shechita is the first avoda, even though it's not really avoda, but it's the first stage of Shechita. There's Kabbalah, there's Halacha, and there's Zika. So only from the Kabbalah, from the catching the blood, does a Kohen have to do it from that point on. But prior to Kabbalah, in other words, the Shechita can be done by Yisrael. So we learn from here again, Kamash Milan, Mi Kabbalah Ve'elech, Mitzvah Kuna, Mitzvah Kuna. So then the Gemara says further, No Selechavero. So this is also a quotation from the Mishnah. So the Kohen who catches the blood would then bring it, pass it to the Kohen standing next to him, and they go down the whole line until it made its way to the Mizbeach. So Shmas Minah, we learn from here, Holacha Shelo Beregel Havya Halacha. That normally Halacha, you have to walk it to the Mizbeach, but here nobody's walking it, they're just passing it. Everyone's standing in the place. So we see that Halacha does not require actual walking. It just requires getting it from point A to point B to the place of the Mizbeach. Mar says, Dilma, maybe, who nayed Purta? Maybe he moved a little bit. Maybe like he wiggled his feet a little bit or took a little bit of a step. And there was a small little halacha. Now in this line in the Gemara, there's machlokas, does just one coin have to move and that's enough? Or does every coin who catches has to do like a little move over, a little swerving of his feet to do a little bit of a halacha? Unclear, it's a machlokas we've shown him. But the Gemara says, Elamai Kamashulan, if it's true that there's a real halacha here, that each coin, let's say, moves a little bit, so it's Pashut. So there's a real halach here. What are we learning from this din here? We learn the following din. Elamai kamash v'lan b'rov am hadris melech. Even though you could accomplish that one Kohen could walk from point A to point B, it's a much better thing to try to get every person involved, b'rov am hadris melech, to give every person a chelek of this particular mitzvah. Okay. So now the Gemara says, kibas amalei machzias harekam. You catch the full bowl, and then you receive the empty bowl going down the opposite direction. About ipchalah, but you can't do the opposite. You can't be makabel the reikan and then be makabel the malay. Why? The Messiah lay the Reish Lakish, Dhamma Reish Lakish, ain mavirin al mitzvahs. You cannot pass over the mitzvahs. In other words, if you are being presented the opportunity to catch the makabel, the dam that's malay, then you should take that first. But to pass it up by first taking the empty one and then do the malay afterwards, you're passing an opportunity of the mitzvah of halacha. That's what we learn from Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is the baal meimra of ein mavirin al hamitzvahs. Okay, and then finally the Gemara says, the Kohen would be Karev Eitz HaMizbech, the Kohen who would be closest to the Mizbech, he would be Zocha to do the Zrika, to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech. So, Man Tana Pesach B'Zrika, I told you on the Mishnah, there's Machlokas whether you do Zrika or whether you do Shvicha, that's a Gemara in the very end, the second to last daf of the Masechta, daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, Rabbi Shmuel is the one who holds that you do a Shvicha, but this Mishnah assumes you do a Zrika. So, Man Tana Pesach B'Zrika, who holds you do a Zrika? You throw the blood, you don't pour it, but you throw the blood. I'm Rav Chisa, this is Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, Omer, es damam tizrok es al mizbeach, ves chelbam takdir. So what's this talking about? If you look at the pasuk is talking about b'chor, nothing to do with the Karim Pesach at all. It says, ach b'chor shor, o b'chor kesev, o b'chor eiz lo sifte, Kodesh Hemeth Damam Tizrok Al Mizbech. By this week's parsha, yesterday's parsha, we read about the Pidyon HaBen. There are three Becharos in this halacha. There's Pidyon HaBen, there's Petach Hamor. Those were both mentioned in yesterday's parsha. But there's another type of Bechor, Behema Tahora, kosher animal. If you have a kosher animal, the firstborn kosher animal, that's actually a karbon. So the Pasuk telling us here that Bechor, you cannot do a Pidyon, you can't be Poldip. We do Pidyon HaBen, we do Pidyon Petach Hamor, but a Behema Tahora, kosher animal, that's a Bechor, there is no Pidyon, that has to be thrown into the Mizbech. Damam Tizrok. So what do you mean Damam? It should be Damo. We're talking the singular, the Dam of the Bechor. What's the Damam? Who's the many Dams we're talking about? So Gemara's Medayik, Damo lo nemar, el Damam. Chelbo lo nemar, el Chelbam. So what's the plural that we're referring to? So the drasha is, Li made al Bechor, umaisur Pesach, shein tunim matan damim, ve'murim legabim mizbeach. So it's telling us this din, Damam is implying that there's something else included in this din here, in Bechor. It's also, we're throwing in the Meiser Behema is also a carbon, and Pesach, that their bloods also require a Zrika, not a Shvicha, but a Zrika. That's the drasha of carbon Pesach that requires Zrika. So now the Gemara wants to know that Minolan Detunin Yisod, how do you know that you do the Zrika where there's a Yisod on the Mizbeach, the part that has that little platform on the bottom? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Asya Zrika, Zrika, Me'ola. We have a Gezer Shav. It says Zrika here by this case of Bechor, and it says Zrika by the carbon Ola. Ksiv Hacha es Damam Tizrok Al Mizbeach, like we just read. Uksiv Hasim, it says there, Vizarku B'nei Aaron HaKonim es Damo Al Mizbeach Saviv. The Saviv is a reference to the Yisod. So it says Zrika by the case of the Ola that that Aaron brought. Right in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, it says Vishachat Osal Yerach HaMizbeach. Threw it around. So it says Zrika by the Ola. It says Zrika by the Bechor. So Gemara's Medayik, Ma Ola Tuna Yisod, Pesach Nami, Tani. So this also requires a Yisod. Now, how do you know the carbon Ola requires a Yisod? It doesn't say Yisod in the Pasuk we just read. V'Ola Gufa Minalan, Amakra, El Yisod HaMizbech, HaOla, Elma. So it says in the Pasuk, the Yisod of the Mizbech, the Ola, requires to be sprinkled on the Ola. Alma, we see from this pasuk, Ola tun Yisod, and just like the Ola requires Yisod, so too the Karim Pesach requires Yisod as well. Let's do a quick recap here. It's a lot to talk about here, but we start off by saying the Yehuda's opinion that Zivchi, that the carbon Talmud based on Zivchi, Zevach HaMiuchali, that also would be subject to the Isser of owning Chametz during the Talmud Shabbat Rabbayim. Then the Shita of Rabbi Shimon that said the Zevach Zivchai, the different drasha moving the Yud to the other Pasuk, that the Bezman Zevach, you put in other Karbanos, Bezman She'eno Zevach, when it's not Karban Pesach, you're Chayiv if you own Chametz during other Karbanos. And then there's the question of if a Pesach Shalol Shema, if it's Stam cases for Shlomim or not for Shlomim, and that was whether or not you require an Akira or you don't require an Akira to go from a Pesach to Shlomim. We had the whole long mishnah of requiring three kitos and the blowing of the shofar and the gold line and the silver lines and then the reciting of the Hallel and then the skinning of the animal on, during the weekday and the shoulders and the poles on Shabbos. And then the end of the mishnah spoke about where they go and sit in the Har Bayis versus the Chayil versus the Azara, and when the sun set, they would actually roast the Karim Pesach. And then we discuss the source of three kitos. Was it three kitos at one time, or was it Bezeach HaZeh, based on the pasuk of Eda, Kal Eda Yisrael? And then we discussed the Machlokas, when the doors closed, was it Nalim, where they closed on its own as a nace, or was a person, Nalim was a person actually closing them? We tried to bring a riot from the mishnah about Akavya ben Mihalo. And then we spoke about the one time where a person was trampled and killed during the Karbanos. And then that Agrippus HaMelech wanted to take a census, so he took a kidney from each of the Karbanos, totaling 12 million people at least during that time. And then we discussed that they didn't actually take it, but they actually just put it aside to count the bean, but they put the kidney on the Mizbeach with the rest of the Karban Pesach. And then about the reason why you have to have gold lines and silver lines, which just looks pretty that way. And then we discussed about not having a bottom, flat bottom of the shulayim, with the exception of the Bezicha Levona, which is the only one that had a flat bottom to it, and then that the Yisrael could do the Shechita, and the Kohen must do the Kabbalah from that point on, and Halacha Shul Beregel, you may not have to actually walk, as long as it gets from point A and point B, and then about first being Makabel the Malay, and then returning the Reikon because of Ein Mavrin Al Mitzvos, and then finally we spoke about the Kohen closest to the Mizbeach requires a Zrika on the Mizbeach learned from Bechor, and also in the Yisod learned from the Karban Ola. Everyone have a wonderful day, and I will not be here tomorrow or Tuesday. Mirat Hashem will, I guess, reconvene on Wednesday. Okay. Oh, I need to rest my voice.